I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It's 5 o'clock on the most listened to sports talk show for your ride home.
What?
It is time for the Falcons Report.
Whoa. Casey got another pick. Here's Julio down the far sideline and will score. Sacked. Grady Jarrett got another one.
You shall not pass.
The 5 o'clock Falcons Report.
Oh, my heavens.
On Dukes and Bell.
We are Dukes and Bell. Happy Friday. We start off every day and every hour by saying,
hey man.
It is good to have you listening. Looking forward to the weekend, man. Mike Bell's heading out of town. You going to put some money down?
Damn right. He's trying to figure out on who. Yeah, man. One thing for certain, going to definitely get on those futures for 2019 and the 2019-20 season. But, yeah, man, just curious where you're going with this. Rams? Saints? That we all know what we feel. We don't want to see New Orleans here, but... You'll hear what Mark Schlereth had to say about our Falcons O-line and all the matchups in AFC and NFC coming up a little bit in the 6 o'clock hour. But, yeah, well, real quick, what will be the one lock bet you would like me to place for you this weekend?
Chiefs, man.
You down with the Chiefs?
I'm down with the Chiefs. Right. I think the Chiefs not only cover, I think the Chiefs handle their business.
You're going to go against the Patriots. We won't be up to the task, is what you're saying.
I don't think that. I think the Patriots will be in it. I'm not saying blowout. If it's a blowout, I think that'll be a shocker to everybody.
Right.
But guys, understand this. The Patriots haven't won in Kansas City since November 22nd, 2004, when Corey Dillon rushed for 2 touchdowns.
Hmm.
Okay? So at some point, you keep thinking it's got to be their chance, right? It's got to be their opportunity. And then when you start talking about the matchups and how this is going to play out, we'll get more into this in our big story coming up in about 20 minutes. I think, you know, again, you're going to have to play man-to-man. Now, there are rumors out there that, you know, the chief safety, Eric Berry, may be available. And if that happens, I think that changes some things for the Chiefs. But it also means that the middle of the field is going to be open for Brady. And so you're now saying, all right, I'm going to bet money that Brady's going to be able to pick them apart man-to-man, and especially in the open field, in the middle of the field. But, Mike, the Chiefs are 8-1 at home. I'm going with the Chiefs. If you're going to say lock it in, that's where I'm going this weekend. Now, at the end of the day, Monday or Tuesday, when we come back and we're talking about this, and you go, well, Dukes, you said it would not surprise me and it shouldn't surprise you if the New England Patriots win, because these are the moments in which they play their best.
As far as, you know, the star power, we talked about Sony Michel. Again, it'll be our big story. But, you know, Gronk, we think Gronk could be the X factor. And Mark Schlereth was saying, look, he might not be getting the receptions, but he's doing all the dirty work, you know, and helping open things up for the other guys.
Yeah, so we'll get into it. We'll let you hear not only from Pat Mahomes, but also Robert Kraft telling an interesting story about Tom Brady when he got drafted. Stay tuned for that. Real quick, do want to give a shout-out to Andrew Hill. Andrew tweeted at us, and we invite you to find us on social media as well. Again, like the station on Facebook, Instagram. You can follow us, and he is Mike Bell, ATL. I'm at Put 'Em Up, see Dukes, and the radio show Dukes and Bell 929. Andrew says that he retweeted Steve Weiss's tweet.
Yeah, our buddy Wickety Wickety Weiss says, connecting in Atlanta on his way down to New Orleans, and Steve writes, Delta agent just said over the intercom, I'm a lifelong Falcons fan. I can't wait for the Saints to lose this weekend. I can't have y'all coming back here in 2 weeks. Said homeboy is about to get some serious shade from some passengers.
So that's Steve Weiss's Twitter. Andrew hit us up and said, did you guys see this? Give that Delta employee a raise.
Darn right.
Yeah, man, I'm with you. So Andrew, appreciate that. We retweeted it. Listen, everybody's taking shots. It's going to be a lot of fun. Either way, we hope the Saints aren't here, but guys, they're really good. They wouldn't be in this position if they were not the best team all season.
I mean, certainly the Rams-Chiefs regular season game was one that everybody tuned in for, highest-rated Monday night game of the season. So, and in years, actually, for ESPN. So I know what fans want. Fans want offense. I mean, even with the Patriots, with the, you know, a little bit different Patriots team, you're gonna get some offense no matter who you get in this matchup here in Atlanta.
All right, let's talk about our Falcons. The Falcon Report, always brought to you by our friends at Domino's.
All right, Domino's does some amazing deals. Now, listen to this. Through January 27th, a large 2-topping pizza, $5.99. Man, what do you got laying under the couch? Go get that money out there and go get a couple of pizzas when you go carry out at Domino's.com.
All right, the news with the Falcons today is kind of interesting simply because you know, we thought everything was kind of settled. We thought that Dan Quinn had hired all the guys that he needed to hire as far as coordinators are concerned.
My brotherhood is complete.
And those guys are in place. And then we find out that the guy we hired to basically help Coach Quinn with clock management is now moving on. Kyle Flood.
Yeah, Kyle Flood has been here for a year. He was assistant O-line coach, and we know how the O-line did. Now, the injuries, that's not his problem, but he's going to move on to Bama to be the O-line coach. He was, as Carl just said, going to be our clock and game management assistant. He was defrocked at Rutgers under some strange circumstances. So from what I'm hearing from some people, it might not be the worst scenario all in all, Carl. He might not have had that warrior spirit, maybe not up to our standard.
Yeah. So this, what it means is Dan Quinn, I think, is going to hire someone else within the staff. I don't know if you go out outside, Mike, to do this.
Can Malarkey do that?
Well, listen, you know, I don't know what all these guys, as far as their complete duties. When you say he's the tight ends coach, is that all he's done is working with the tight ends? You said he probably will have some influence on with the offensive
line.
Yeah,
he's been such an effective offensive line coach throughout his career, and he's always had tough physical O-lines no matter what he's done on the teams, whether he's head coach or OC. How about this? What about you give Arthur Blank a buzzer up in the owner's box? I want you to run it. Go for it, you numbskulls. Get me 1 yard, you pipsqueaks. I don't know. I'm just. We even joked around about having let the fans vote. You know, hey, it's 4th and 1. TV timeout. You want to see the Falcons? A. Matt Ryan, quarterback keeper.
Yeah.
B. Jet sweep. Call a timeout and help the other team. I don't know. I'm just. We saw so many ways to screw up short yardage. When does it matter? When does a coach have to have that situational awareness? Well, we started with Super Bowl 51 when obviously we didn't really have the big picture in anybody's mind on that sideline with 5 minutes to go in the Super Bowl. Dan's had some issues with when to call his timeouts, when to go for it. I mean, you got three head coaches on the roster. One of those guys I think would do better than a guy who failed at Rutgers anyway.
Yeah, I would hope so. So that is news as far as what the Falcons are going to do. We don't know. And if they'll keep somebody or you know, elevate somebody to take that job in-house, we'll have to wait and see. In other Falcon news, though, as we talk about the Falcons' run game, Mike, just real quick, you know, we only averaged, what, 98 yards per game this season. That was 27th in the league. That's where we got to get better. We had a chance to talk to Mark Schlaer, three-time Super Bowl champion. When he was with the Broncos now, this was at the peak of the zone blocking scheme, all right? And he mentions to us about the backs that they brought in, and you'll hear this interview coming up at 6:20, that after Terrell Davis gets hurt and everybody goes, oh, anybody can do this, you still have to have dudes.
We had Alex Gibbs, who was the guy, was the grandfather, if you will, of the zone blocking scheme with the Broncos and coached Mark Schlereth. He was here with Jim Mora for 2 years, one of those years we made the playoffs with Mike Vick. But, I mean, we asked him all about, you know, the kind of the type of player, attitude, et cetera.
Well, one, you got to have really talented players. And I always, you know, I always laugh when people say, well, you want a smaller offensive line, you know, quicker. And I'm like, oh, Lord have mercy. You want to tell me Larry Allen couldn't be a zone blocking scheme? Come on now. You know, you want athletes to be sure. But the problem that you have in Atlanta is the injury issues. And when you get into injury issues with that system, especially today, in with the collective bargaining agreement the way it is, that there's such a sense of togetherness, such a sense of timing, such a sense of having to work together, five guys becoming one, that when you have injuries and you separate and you mix and match and you do all that, it's really hard. There's no question. Look at the Rams. They're the only team in the National Football League that all five starters up front played all 16 games and started all 16 games. There's a reason they are so in sync running the football. And when you run the zone system, you've got to be able to have those guys together, cohesive, working together, seeing the exact same things, feeling the same things, and working together to the point where you don't even have to communicate. It just becomes, I sense it, you sense it, we see the same thing. That's been the biggest problem with the Atlanta Falcons is the injury issues, the shuffling around of the offensive line. That's a big issue, and when you get into that, all of a sudden, you know what you start doing? You say, hey, let's get out of the zone a little bit. Let's run a little bit more gap scheme. Let's run a little bit more pin and pull scheme. Let's do some other things. And then all that play action stuff that coincides with the zone running stuff that looks identical, all of a sudden you scrap pile some of that because it doesn't fit what you're doing now. And now you've lost not only the staple of your running game, but you've lost a lot of your big chunk passing plays out of the play action game.
You know, we talked about this. There were times, and not just this season. I mean, there were even times prior to our run, you know, in the previous season that Matt would have that naked boot, right, where you fake the handoff and you're rolling out, and then there'd be a guy all over him because there's no reason to respect that when you're not being successful at it. And I think that's what Mark is alluding to there. That's Mark Schlereth talking to us here on Dukes and Bell. But, you know, all that fakes and bootlegging stuff only works if that running game is effective. So now that's what he says. So it's not working, so we're going to go away from it. Okay, well, now I can play you differently, and you're not as effective. Mike, I think it's a big deal. We've been talking about it, but to hear his perspective on it, I think really, you know, cements our thoughts about, all right, we got to get more talented up front. Not just picking guys,
right?
Talented guys.
Yeah, I mean, you know how it worked, and we talked about it. Mark Schlereth just laid it out for you. Those guys stayed healthy. Chris Chester played great. You know, we thought it was another retread from, you know, the Redskins experience with Shanahan. The guy was great. Lavitre, remember, he was picked up the previous year when Dan Quinn looked at that line and said, this isn't good enough. We made the trade with the Titans. Lavitre stayed healthy. The whole line stayed healthy. Alex Mack came in and was the bedrock it was all built on in the middle. So that's how we got to the Super Bowl. Unfortunately, Alex, you know, broke his leg basically and played on one good leg for half. So now you look at where we've been the last 2 years. Guys aren't good enough. Then you throw in the injuries, and the backups are certainly not good enough. And that's why we're not in the Super Bowl.
Yeah. You know, I'm looking at things like toss plays. You know that toss? Mack turns around and just tosses it out there to where it's Coleman, and then you're just trying to find a gap. The play's not successful if you're not able to run effectively with just a power zone run.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so all these things are connected is what we're saying.
And
guys,
the things that, you know, you heard from Schlereth there, you've got a couple of options. Now, what is our zone blocking scheme going to look like? Is it going to be a combination of power? Like, kind of, I mentioned this a million times, but one more time. What the Eagles kind of do, because they get the short yardage, you know? You got to have a running back. Would we like to have a truly bigger running back to complement whatever we're doing? Brian Hill is Brian Hill, okay? You know, I like Ito, but a guy like that, you got to create a little daylight for the dude. You know, ain't going to work when you got dudes in the backfield.
No. Your thoughts, 404-741-0929. More with Mark Schlereth coming up in the 6 o'clock hour. It is our Falcon Report, again, brought to you by our friends at Domino's. So I was looking at this too, Mike, and you know, we talk about all the things that we're going to have to do this offseason, and we've been talking a lot about, you know, players and what positions we need, yada, yada, yada. There is also an element that, you know, some of the guys you have to play better. I mean, that's what it comes down to. And I'm not calling him out, but this year, and you can say, well, it was because the guys around him weren't good. Alex Mack has to play better. Alex Mack came in, to your point, was really good, right? Then he was great Super Bowl year. And we asked him this year when we talked to him, how do you assess your season? He says, I think I had a pretty good season. But a lot of people will say, well, he was trying to take up the slack for the two guys that were next to him because they weren't that good. Either way, some of the guys that are currently here that we expect to play well at a high level, they've got to play there.
Right. I mean, this O-line has got to get fixed. We know the drill, guys. Two guards and a tackle. Quinn's own words. Two guys he trusts. So how do you do that? Through cap space? Cap space is going up, and then you do have the ability to move some money around. Squidbilly's been talking about that, Bo, our producer. So hopefully they can, because, man, it's Julio in his prime. It's Matt in his prime. Sanu in his prime. All these guys, you know. You know, Hooper became a Pro Bowl tight end. And our tight ends coach, by the way, leaving the team to go to the Denver Broncos. I just read that as well. Wade Harmon leaving to go to Denver. So you gotta get it done now.
Yes,
man. This is it.
Wade Harmon was let go, by the way, by the Falcons.
Okay, so he's out.
Yes.
He also did not get up to the standard.
Yeah, that was the report that was out there. He's going to be named the new tight ends coach with the Broncos.
How was your warrior spirit today? By the way, this is now, I'm going to keep going with this until somebody punches me in the head. I'm just trying to roll out as many Dan Quinn motivational cliches. Oh, Squid's coming from behind the glass. Here it comes.
My warrior spirit is always good, Mike. I'm a competitor. Hey, guys want to hear from you. And
are you attacking the day, Carl?
I always do.
You better have.
I always do. When it comes to talking about the Falcons, again, brought to you by Domino's, your chance to win $1,000 on the way, so stay tuned for that. And we will get into the championship games. I know a lot of people are going, what do you guys think? We're going to tell you. NFC Championship weekend, AFC Championship game. Obviously, it's Championship weekend on Sunday, both games. 1 at 3:05, the second game, the Chiefs-Patriots is at 6:40.
Hey, there's a good point from Vaughn McClure. I meant to get to this the other day. Please unblock me on Twitter, Vaughn.
Unblock him,
you can
Vaughn.
Read him at ESPN.com. We didn't mention this in the Falcon Report, but he was saying how, you know, Austin Hooper, we saw him take a huge leap. We just mentioned him going to the Pro Bowl. In Dirk Cutter's offense, remember Matt to Tony Gonzalez? Now, a different type of target. Obviously, Tony is the gold standard first ballot Hall of Famer. But think of with all the weapons, things could really even open up even more for Austin Hooper under Dirk Cutter, especially in the red zone. So that's one guy that might reap the benefits of this new coaching change.
I hope so.
We also probably have to get another tight end to work with what Malarkey would really want to have. I know we like Logan Paulson, but maybe at some point pick up another tight end here too.
Yeah, Paulson did a good job, I thought. You know, again, I don't know how to judge him overall over the course of the season. He caught a couple of balls, but that's not why they brought him in. He was a blocking tight end.
Right. And he got, like everybody on the line, he got manhandled times at times too.
Yeah, he was here to help you with run situations. But, you know, to your point about Tony Gonzalez, he was, you know, the safety valve, right? That's what he really was, especially on third downs. And here was what's funny. Falcon fans, you remember, guys, like when Tony Gonzalez, he'd be third and five, and everybody in the building's like, it's going to Gonzalez. It's almost like knowing Mike was going to take the last shot in the NBA. Right. And nobody could stop it. You know, it was almost like you knew, but we didn't care. We're going to run it, and good luck covering him, and Matt would deliver it, and whoop, we'd have a first down. I think, again, we could get back to that depending on how you run these routes, Mike. You know, we said this. Part of Sark's inefficiency, in my opinion, was the inability, and we saw some of it late, but Julio, crossing routes, rub routes, things that just make sense, double moves to get guys open. And if you've got to defend all of that on the outside, then the middle is open. And that's where, you know, when you had Roddy at his height, Julio coming into his own, you had guys. Harry Douglas was a part of that. Nobody was defending the middle. You couldn't defend. And so I think Hooper, you know, what do you think about him as a route runner? I think he's getting better. But all of that stuff has opened up from the outside when you have the middle of the field open and you got linebackers trying to cover these guys. Hey, man, it is Dukes and Bell. Let's give you a chance to win some money.
Now it's time to reveal our national signing bonus code word. The code word is...
swing! Swing for the fences.
Nice.
Swing is the word. Text it to 72881. That's 72881 for your chance to win. Message and data rates do apply.
I always think of that, the Sling TV ads. We like to sling. Anyway, it's a swing. Go to 72881. Swing is the 5 o'clock word. One more shot at the $1,000 of the National Signing Bonus Contest. Remember, if you see a phone you don't recognize, I would recommend you answer it. Hey, before we catch a break, real quick, you ever hit a hole-in-one or come close in a golf course?
Not a hole-in-one. I've come close, yes.
Yeah, you and me, we've all come close.
Yeah, close.
Guess who had a hole-in-one today? We were just talking about him during the NFL Blitz.
Who's that?
Larry Fitzgerald.
You serious?
Yeah, he was playing in Juneau Beach, which is south of Jupiter, where all the golfers live, playing with President Obama, and hits a hole-in-one, his first ever. So
how about that?
What a life he's leading. Maybe he walks away. We were talking about the money in Arizona earlier, and it's like a $16 million hit. Great guy, though.
He is. If I hit a hole-in-one, I'm going home, just so you guys know. If you're playing with me.
We got to buy the drinks first, though, Chief.
I'm taking the picture, and then I'm done. Hey, you want a chance to go see or check out the Super Bowl experience at the Georgia World Congress Center? Stay tuned. Listen for the sounder. Be the first caller, and you're going to get a pair of tickets, guys. It's an interactive theme park that opens Saturday, January 26th through February 2nd. It's cool. For more info, go to superbowl.com. Our strong arm story of the day is next. When you hear the music,
texting enrolls for recurring marketing messages sent via automatic text message.
It is Dukes and Bell. Happy Friday. Getting ready for many of us, a long weekend. Quick reminder, Monday, the Hawks have a game on MLK Day, and many of you are off work. That game will be pregame at 2:30, tip at 3 o'clock as the Hawks take on the Orlando Magic. Mike and I will be back Tuesday to talk to you about what went down championship week as we start to get ready then for the Super Bowl. We're going to know Sunday evening what's going down, which gets us to the strong arm story of the day.
The strong arm story of the day is brought to you by John Foy and Associates Personal Injury Law.
All right, let's talk about these games. Let's start first with Patriots at Kansas City. 3-point spread, by the way, if you're interested in those kinds of things. Andy Reid and the Chiefs are 2-2 against Bill Belichick and the Patriots since Reid became Kansas City's coach back in 2013.
Oh, yeah!
I don't know if all of that matters, Mike. I mentioned this earlier. Patriots haven't won in Kansas City. Haven't won at KC since November 22nd, 2004.
And you mentioned a great name from the past, Corey Dillon, the running back that they picked up. And again, it's when they were kind of becoming the Raiders, where they would take reclamation projects and get something out of them. Remember him? The Bengals got sideways, and they rolled all the way to beating the Eagles that year. Let me ask you this, though. I mean, those are numbers. I get those numbers, but the fact that the Chiefs rolled 40 on New England with two Mahomes picks in Foxborough, I mean, there's some things which they see now. What will New England be able to do to stymie that scoring attack?
That's the question. I mean, the Chiefs, first of all, are great at home. So are the Saints, and we'll talk about it. But 8-1. The loss coming in the final 4 seconds at home. So you could easily say the Chiefs almost went unbeaten this year. But here's the thing about the Chiefs. They allow just 17 points per game at home. It's a really good defense. And the Patriots were 3-5 on the road this year. They only averaged 21 points on the road. Mm-hmm. Patriots were great at home. People forget they were 9-0 at Foxborough. So you say, how do they stymie the Kansas City Chiefs offense. Well, Mike, here's the thing. Week 6, and let's go back, because this is the interesting thing. We can look back at these games that both of these teams played, whether it be the Rams or the Saints or these matchups, this matchup with the Chiefs and the Patriots. And in Week 6, there was one punt, 30 combined fourth-quarter points, and then the field goal to win it, 43-40, at New England. I don't know if they stop the Chiefs. I think the Chiefs are going to score, and I actually just don't think the Kansas or the New England Patriots are going to be able to keep up. Now, that may sound crazy after what you saw last week, but this defense is different at home. I want you to hear Pat Mahomes talking about playing for the fans.
For me, it's all about just going out there and playing the game I love. But at the same time, you see the things, you see everybody supporting you and stuff like that, and I'm going to go out there and try to make everybody proud that's believed in me from the beginning and until now. And so I'm going to go out there and put my best foot forward, give my best effort on every single play, and try to go out there and win football games.
Now, the Chiefs, they lose Kareem Hunt to the suspension over the stupidity in Cleveland. You got Damian Williams, the guy that came over from Miami by way of the Raiders. Had a monster game last week against a really good Colts run defense. You know, the Colts are red hot. That was the hottest team in the playoffs at that time. And then, obviously, they were out of it. And by the time they got in, it was way too late. You think you see Travis Kelce do his thing? I mean, they have so many weapons. And Tyreek Hill, one thing Belichick mumbles did say is,
you can't account for that speed.
He's so fast. I mean, you get him out there. If you miss, if you don't take the right angle, he, as you guys know, he's gone. And maybe he's the guy that goes bananas in this one, like he did at Foxborough.
Yeah, when you average 11 fewer points on the road than you do at home, New England, that's something you got to think about. And you're playing a high-scoring team. Now, I think something like 30-24 could easily be the score. Again, I'm not going 40s. I think it would be 30-24, somewhere around there. But, Mike, I just look at this, and I continue to talk about it. I've been saying it today. If Eric Berry can play, I really think it helps the Chiefs' efforts as far as wanting to go man-to-man and maybe putting a guy like that on a guy like Gronk. When Eric Berry got hurt in the game they played New England, that's what they were doing, and they were having success with it.
Well, here's the thing. You think if you're Belichick, and I just read this, you know, our buddy Pete Prisco writes for CBS Sportsline and speaking of sports.com. He was saying that Brian Flores and Belichick said they're really going to be aggressive coming after Mahomes.
They have to.
I mean, you got to. You can't sit back. So, to your point, because how many times when you see it, he's able to make his progressions, all those things. And when you do pressure him, he's throwing it left-handed, he's throwing it underhanded, he's making all sorts of plays. But, yeah, that's the one thing you're going to have to. But I know that Belichick would prefer not to have to do that. You know, I mean, he's like Quinn. He wants to get that pressure from the down line and have everybody else doing their thing.
Yeah, the game plan, and I mentioned this last week when they played the Chargers, was very simple. We're going to pressure Phillip up the middle because he's not going to run. And then we're going to make sure he gets the ball out of his hands faster than he wants to. And then you saw a bunch of three and outs, and New England capitalized on the other end. You can't do that to Mahomes. You pressure him like that, he's outside, and now he's throwing the ball sideways 50 yards down the field, and you're going to be in one-on-one coverage. He will give his receivers a chance to make plays. I'm curious to see what Belichick does. Now, here's the thing, guys, as we talk about this game, Patriots at Chiefs. It's the AFC Championship game. No one in the history of the NFL has game planned better defensively for quarterbacks and wide receivers than Bill Belichick, with less talent in many cases.
Right.
I'm not counting them out. I like the Chiefs, Mike, but that's the thing we know. All those years, Peyton Manning's winning 13 games, and everybody's going, nobody can stop the Colts, and they go play New England, and all of a sudden, zero.
Well, because the Colts would mug them. They actually changed the NFL rules for how defensive backs can handle wide receivers. No joke. Because Marvin Harrison, Reggie Wayne, those guys, they were playing so physical, grabbing them all over the place. But to your point, once they did get finally past them, now, you know, it was a big part of the vertical passing game, which they were able to free up. Look, Mahomes is a freak. It would be, as we said to start the show, kind of like the cherry on top of an amazing first year as a starter. We look back, and Dan Marino actually played 11 games in his rookie year for the Dolphins. The next year, he had nearly identical stats to Mahomes, although Mahomes had a lot less picks. I mean, Patrick Mahomes had 50 touchdowns. It's insane.
12.
Marino had 48 touchdowns and 17 picks and 5,084 yards. But that's what we're talking about. Mahomes having a Marino-like year. We're going to talk to Dan at the Super Bowl, by the way, in a couple of weeks.
Yeah. If he wins two more games, and I'm talking about Pat Mahomes, this goes down arguably as the best individual quarterback season ever. And that's hard to believe, but that's the kind of numbers he's put up. Listen to Robert Kraft talk about Tom Brady, because okay, I'm not counting him out. Here is the owner, Robert Kraft, of the New England Patriots.
Skinny young man coming down the steps of the old stadium with the pizza box and introducing himself to me and telling me he's the greatest decision this organization has ever made. And, of course, he was fourth on the depth chart, but I think he sure was right. Definitely the greatest player of all time, not just quarterback, in my opinion, because he's such a leader in the locker room. People are the most important thing.
Well, he would know, man, and Tom Brady sets the tone. Look, they've always had that machine in place, but Tom is the lead cog. I mean, there's no doubt. Guys don't want to discount it because, like, even Montana had a machine built around him that Bill Walsh had assembled. You know, they had all the pieces there. So you're always going to have, you know, that you got to have the team around you. But, like, when you look at some of the slugs that he's been throwing it to, the ultimate irony, as you pointed out earlier, the year he's got the greatest wide receiver of the generation, Randy Moss, they come up short in the final game.
That was their best offensive team during the Brady years. I mean, they're not even close. They were blowing people out. He was setting records. I like Chiefs. We'll see where it goes. Let's shift gears here and talk about what's going to happen in New Orleans, Mike. That spread is 3.5, by the way.
No, down to 3 now. I just checked. So okay. They're both at 3, and both points, by the way, over-under. It's 57 now in the Rams and the Saints, and 56 for the Kansas City New England game. Ben Watson's out. He was going to give it a go. Had appendicitis.
Big deal.
15 years in the NFL, a money guy. How many times have we seen Ben Watson kill us? But Ben Watson, apparently, it's official. He's a no-go for the NFC Championship.
Listen, nobody's going to make excuses. I was telling Bo, this is the kind of game Ben Watson would have, like 4 catches that were critical to either moving the chains or maybe in the red zone. And he would be one of those guys that you wouldn't be thinking about. He's not on the field. Rankins, one of the best defensive players in the league, not on the field. I'm going to make excuses for the Saints. I'm telling you, those are big losses, in my opinion, on both sides of the ball.
Now, you get a motivated Ndamukong Suh. We know Aaron Donald's going to be, toting the mail. I mean, what are they going to do to get Drew Brees out of his rhythm? You just talked about what the Patriots are going to try to do to Mahomes. You got to push it from the center. You got to get Max Unger out of the way so Drew Brees doesn't have that ability to step up. That, again, easier said than done because the Saints O-line has done a great job of protecting Drew Brees. And then conversely, they get after the quarterback. That first game, what did Sean McVay learn? You know, did they – sometimes he zigged when he should have zagged with some of the play calls.
All right, first thing you learned is Aqib Talib is now healthy. They took advantage of Marcus Peters. So defensively, before we start talking about what they need to do offensively, you got to shut down or at least limit Michael Thomas. He cannot have a buck 70 like he did last week and expect to win. Here's the thing about the Rams and the Saints, though, and this is why a lot of people think the over is the play. Rams are number 2. Saints are number 3 in offensive efficiency this season. The Rams did rank 6th in defensive efficiency on the road, but we're talking about the Saints at home. So Brees leads the league, Mike, in total quarterback rating at home. He's been the best quarterback all year at home. This is why it's hard to bet against the Saints, on top of all this other stuff that we're talking about with Kamara and Michael Thomas and yada, yada, yada. The thing that I think Sean McVay learned, though, is you're going to have to take possessions away. And the way you do that is that two-headed monster you saw last week running the ball. Limit the amount of time Brees has the rock. That's how you got to win.
And if you're looking for trends or anything, you talked about the guys that are healthier for the Rams on defense, like Talib. It was 35-17 at halftime. What did Wade Phillips do? Whatever he did, the Saints didn't score any points in the third quarter. And then the Rams got back in it, and obviously then the Saints, they finished it off. But it's just one of those things. There was that, was it the fake? They went for the Rams,
yes,
you know, they didn't go for it. Maybe should just kick the field goal and take the points. That's one of the things where maybe McVay, okay, be smart about the big picture. But, yeah, I still agree with you, though. The Rankins thing has been the big story about how much different now the Rams will be able to run that football with Gurley and, as you said, with C.J. Anderson.
Sean Payton says neither one of these teams, for that matter, anybody left in these playoffs are not one-dimensional.
I think the teams are playing good offense and good defense. I mean, what makes a good team? You know, it's not just one side of the ball or the other, and obviously you have to have good quarterback play. I think it's hard to get to where we're at now being one-dimensional, and I think when you look at the teams that are playing, what Kansas City did to Indianapolis last week defensively was real impressive. I mean, generally when the season's over with, the best team wins, and that's not just in one area.
Now, here's the question. 2 minutes to play. Rams get the ball back. They need to go down and score. How much do you trust Jared Goff to get it done? If you put Drew Brees in that situation,
right,
you trust that he's going to get it done. Here's Goff talking about being comfortable.
I think what we've done the last, you know, 3 or 4 weeks now, being able to put some points on the board and move the ball down the field, you know, and then our running game has come along, and especially last week, we feel good. Feel good with where we're at and feeling really comfortable.
I like the Rams, Mike.
All right, well, again, I got to go bet these games on Sunday. You going to make your mind up? All right.
It's hard. I mean, yes, I'm being a little biased, but they have everything that they need to get it done.
It's hard not to take the over in both these games, you know, at 57 and 56, respectively. We'll talk more about it, but, man, What's up in Mike Conti? What's going on in his crazy noggin? We'll find out in case you missed it. Next.
Right here on Dukes and Bell.
Coming up, top three at six, guys. More about the playoffs this weekend. Championship weekend in the National Football League. Hawks in action, too, on Saturday against the Celtics. They will also play on MLK Day. But before all of that, let's talk to our man Mike Conti.
I have some great news, guys.
Okay.
Some really, really good news.
What's that?
MARTA says they are very close now to getting full service restored to the airport on that train line. Could be. I don't know what's so funny. This is great news.
Wait,
it could be done by tonight, they're saying.
Okay.
Because, so, Mike, you and I were chuckling. The MARTA spokes, or the MARTA head muckety-muck, was saying how this shows we really know how to deal with a crisis. This is good. This is good. It happened now. Shows we know how to respond. You couldn't get to the airport without a bus for 3 days.
Well, Mike, now that's not the case. Now they do have one of the train lines working.
Nice.
Because, look, it's tough. You know, they had to bring in a crane, and the crane didn't get here on time. So they had to wait for the crane, and that's really tough. And then they got the crane here last night. They take the train off the track, and wouldn't you know it, the track kind of bent a little. So they've been working on the track today. But they are really close. This is great news. MARTA is on it.
Mike, I was wondering if you parked long-term parking, Carl. Is your car still in the same spot? Because they had to move about two dozen cars to get the crane
really
in there.
To do
yes,
that?
They brought it.
Is that what it was?
And when we always think about who do you want touching your car when you're not around? Ato.
That's right.
He's well, right. Not the guys that want exactly wiring on a flatbed, zzz, you know, my ride. But they did have to move a few vehicles.
I didn't realize that's what happened. So it was literally like right over the airport parking lot.
Right on.
Okay, it wasn't, you know, between or anything. Well, hey, MARTA coming through for us. You're going to the airport tonight, I
darn
believe,
right.
Correct?
It's called, it's, let's see, MARTA. It's one last letter. It's called Uber.
Well, Uber's also a very viable option at the airport. But anyhow.
MARTA, let's get this fixed.
They're doing it. Let's cut them a break. They're doing it.
It's going down, Carl.
They're doing it.
How long does it take?
Tonight should be done. Like I said, they have one track. So if I read their service alert correctly, when you get to College Park, they're going to run a train shuttle between the airport and College Park.
All
and
right.
You board at the northbound platform, and you're good to go. So, excellent news. Our mass transit infrastructure falling right in the... Have you noticed, by the way, I don't think this is a coincidence, and I've seen a lot of it around the office this week. They have done a lot of repaving in downtown and midtown over, like, the last 4 or 5 days. I'm not talking about the last month. I'm talking about the last week.
Fixing it.
It feels like...
Yeah, trying to get it fixed.
I think.
Yeah.
I mean, there are going to be a lot of people staying down here near us. So here we are, putting our best foot forward for the Super Bowl.
Now, there was a whole thing when I hit that pothole back in December, and I went on Twitter. The city even had their own, like, Atlanta, like, pothole brigade people on social media.
Yeah.
So, yeah, on Spring Street, which is like the crater of the moon, there's a lot of construction. Then you had all that rain, Mike. But, yeah, all the Midtown stuff is getting, at least for the time being, filled up.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's caused quite a few challenges getting to the office this week, but by the time the Chiefs and or Patriots and or Saints and or Rams are here, we'll be looking just good. So
I hope so.
It's all good.
Put our best face on.
No doubt. Now, remember we had talked, I think, last week about the yacht that Jerry Jones had purchased.
Oh,
he bought like this 80-foot super yacht.
250 mil, right?
I don't remember if it was something a quarter of a billion.
Oh, okay.
It might have been like 25 million. It was quite a bit.
Okay.
Dan Snyder has one-upped him. Dan Snyder, owner of the Washington Redskins,
bought
a yacht today. And you're right. I'm sorry, Carl. You're right. Jerry Jones was $250
million. Okay.
Dan Snyder spending a meager $100 million on his yacht.
Jerry's looks like a destroyer. I mean, it looks like something could be in the Navy right now.
This has got to be humble pie here for Dan Snyder because his yacht is only $100 million, and I swear I'm not making this up. I'm not being silly. Whereas Jerry Jones' yacht has two helipads, Dan Snyder, only one.
Big bank tank, little bank.
Only one, yeah.
And Jerry's apparently. Boat named Bravo Eugenia, he may rename it. That's what he bought. And, of course, Snyder's boat named D-Bag.
I'm sorry?
What? Back to you, Mike Cotty.
I don't see that here in this
you didn't
report,
have to dump that, did you? You didn't have to dump. Oh.
Yeah.
All right, real quick. Let me clean it up.
A dump. No.
All right, let me
nope,
clean it up.
Nope,
all right, let
nope.
me clean it up. So, again, Jerry Jones's boat called the Bravo Eugenia, and Daniel Snyder's boat, the yacht is named Jerkface.
What?
The yacht is called HMS. HMS is His Majesty. SS Jerkface.
Yeah.
Can't do it. See, the joke that's not even dirty is funnier, Mike. Damn it.
That, by the way, that's
censorship.
That's not the name of the yacht. Dan Snyder's yacht is actually named Lady S.
What's that stand for?
Blankhead.
That's not what it stands for. I would imagine S stands for Snyder.
Okay.
Being his
surname. I'm just guessing. I guess SS Cheapskate didn't look good by cutting
back
of the
book. Well, it's funny. I was going to say he didn't get $100 million to buy a yacht by pawning off Super Bowl rings because he's never won one.
Right.
But the Snyder yacht has one less helipad than the Jerry Jones yacht. It has two less gyms than the Jerry Jones yacht. But Daniel Snyder has done something that has not been done on the high seas before on a private yacht.
What's that?
He had an IMAX theater installed in it.
Ooh.
For the low cost of $3 million.
He put an IMAX in the boat?
On his boat.
So if Daniel Snyder wants to sail to
That's kind of pimp, though.
No, right. If he wants to sail to, Barbados and watch Days of Thunder in IMAX, he can do it now.
Yeah.
You know? If he wants to sail to Bermuda and watch Pretty Woman in IMAX, he is more than able to do that now.
I agree. Now, listen, here we are talking about $100 million yacht compared to a $250 million yacht.
Jerry's yacht is cooler.
Oh.
I agree. Snyder's yacht isn't bad looking, though. I mean, I wouldn't mind having it. It's got four private suites, and it's got 8K HD TVs. I've heard of the 4K.
New thing.
Existed.
Oh, yeah. You got 8K, Mike. You're not with it.
Yeah, who's
broadcasting 8K?
Right.
Apparently, I mean, no, it's funny you asked that.
Right.
There's actually nobody.
Yeah.
CBS is going to have four 8K cameras at the Super Bowl. I read it in Awful Announcing.
Yes. The one event where everybody, they can afford it. They're not broadcasting regular games in that.
It wasn't that long ago when, and I think CBS did the game, when we had the first high-definition broadcast of the Super Bowl. And I remember people were laughing. They're like, there's only 500 people in the country
who
have a high-definition TV. Yeah. It was the Ravens-Giants Super Bowl.
And by the
way,
that
was the one.
Carl, you're a big baller. The Sharp 70-inch 8K goes for $12,000.
I know. That's why I said, who's
$12,000?
I just looked it up. Yeah.
For a television?
$12,900. So with taxes over $13,000 for the 70-inch
Sharp.
You
better be able to reach into the television and grab the football for that kind of money.
Mike, when HD came out, this is funny that you mentioned this. Everybody's like, I got to get HD.
Right.
There were only a few stations. As a matter of fact, when it first started, you could only get it over an antenna because you couldn't get it to your cable provider.
No.
So I'm like, I want to go get an HD TV. At the time when it came out, $6,000. And this is 99, 2000, somewhere around there. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Right. Do you remember the 3D TVs?
Yes.
How that was going to be the next thing?
Right. Yeah.
ESPN 3D. I remember covering a Masters where they did a demonstration on the 3D TV, and I was thinking, oh,
it's the next big thing.
This is going to be pretty great. And then only one network decided to do it in 3D, ESPN. And since Lifetime and Oxygen and HGTV didn't do 3D channels, all those 3D TVs in the garbage with your 4K.
What we didn't know then, getting back to Mike's point about the Super Bowl, because the cameras are so expensive, it only comes across on what it's shot on.
Right.
So we didn't know that. You could have an HD TV, but if it was not shot in HD, you weren't getting it in HD.
Exactly.
By the way, the website Dignited, which is all for nerds and into techno stuff, says there's no point in getting one yet because Sony just put out the PlayStation in 4K, and if you're watching 4K content on an 8K, it's going to look like crap because you got glaucoma.
Makes sense.
It's what you shoot it on. It's what I was talking about. That's why nobody can afford it. Anyways, good stuff, Mike Conti. Have a great weekend. We will talk to you Tuesday. You'll be back?
Yep.
All right, guys. Top three at 6. We got a lot more to get to, and a great interview you need to hear with Mark Schlereth, who explains what we need with the Falcons and our O-line.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.